Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Overhaul, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And Dave Damashek, I have some news for you. The current score is Toby Berger 13.5 and you 21.8 after only two shows. So what that means, Dave, and I'm going to put all the pressure on your shoulders right away, is if you get if you bet even money bets today, which I know you always do, you're somewhere around even or plus, if you get a single bet right of the five that you're going to wager on today, you break the show record. Can you take that kind of pressure? Can you rise to the occasion?
Well, I don't think the words clutch and Dave Damashek are typically associated with one another, but I will remind you that there is a weird irony to the Dave Damashek experience, which is this. I think we can all agree that I'm not especially macho or type A personality guy or anything like that. But very strangely, in the most fundamental masculine deed, reproducing oneself, I have no equal. Damashek, when it's time for incoitus, Damashek is as clutch as it gets. He'll knock you up, but good. And I'm going to knock you up right now, Mergler.
Oh, my God. That is Brent often threatens to call HR on me. That is the most HR required statement that's ever been said on this show. And I love how you are so proud of your ability to have four children and counting. Who knows? I'm not saying you're done, Dave Damashek. Look at that mustache. You might have another one tonight. But
might have another one and a half before the end of this show.
The fact that you can bring anything, such as your performance on a gambling show, back to your lovemaking really shows where your head's at and what you are most proud of in this world. So I say kudos to you, sir.
Well, you know, my love, the lovemaking experience, I'm a surprisingly vigorous lover and an effective one at that, witness the four children that you mentioned. And I suspect that these picks sort of align with being my wagering children. And I'm about to have some babies. Get on board, everybody.
I have no transition away, but everybody who's listening to this is begging me to transition. So let's find a way to get into the tournament, Dave. And I'm going to Orbach it to start with, something that you made famous, what you coined. When I'm wrong, I will say I'm wrong. I am feeling great here in my UVA gear. I am wearing Origin White on my shoulders. I am wearing a National Champions hat on my head. It fits like crap. It looks terrible. You know what? There's 100 programs in America that doesn't have this in their closet. They don't have it to support it. Pitt Panthers don't have one. So I don't know why I was heading out in shame, because everybody should have shame. Watch this tournament. Kentucky goes out. Everybody's struggling to get through in this tournament. And when you win it, you have to remind people of it forever. So thank you for making me do it. Thank you for making me put on my UVA pride today. And I do not see any Penguins gear on you, but I'll forgive you for that.
Well, first of all, you stand corrected.
He did do it
right there. It's never far from my heart, friend. Just like I told you. And we'll talk about those Penguins in the coming moments here when we're making some picks here. There is a game on Friday night down in Dallas. Listen, congratulations. Your team won six straight coin flips. What was it now? 3 years ago, 4 years ago? And now you have that for all of time as the result. All you got was that silly hat as a result of it. Good for you. I couldn't be. I'm sorry. My worldview is 180 degrees the opposite, apparently, of sports America right now. Everybody, and I hate to be a curmudgeon, but it is my perennial, most curmudgeonly take that I don't find the tournament, while a fun watch mostly, is not a satisfying watch in terms of meritocracy. I just don't think I don't think it's the best way to determine who the best basketball team in the country is in any given year. And I think Thursday's results showed us exactly that. But you know what? Cynical or otherwise, I'm ready to roll into the weekend. I have some good bets for you. Let's get to it.
So Dave, hold on. Before we get to our picks, and we'll do that after we take our break, I want to dig into what you said a little bit there. And I heard you talking about this on Minus Three as well, because you were telling the committee that they should look at this as an entertainment product. Like, you should have a Pitt team in instead of a UVA team in for the aesthetics that the game plays. And I'm not even disagreeing with that. But I will tell you, anybody listening to Wednesday's show saw me getting like dragged. I'm sorry. I don't want to put the emphasis on you. I joined you in your despair for this tournament. I joined you in crapping on the committee and saying, what was the point of all this? I joined you. And then I got to tell you, the ball got tipped on the 2024 NCAA tournament. And as a television product, as an entertainment product, I was glued. I had the four screens up. I was watching the entire day. I was bringing my kids in. I was getting them into it. The Oakland Kentucky game. And so it made me think, like, okay, we don't love the meritocracy of it. We don't love the way that it determines its champion. But is this, in your opinion, for a neutral, take your team out of it, it's just on your television, is this the most entertaining product in all of sports?
It's a great question. And, you know, listen, for all my pap that I talk and disparagement of the tournament. If I remember correctly, Toby Mergler, you do enjoy a beer now and again.
You might have had one this morning when you were making love.
What? Do you know what? Making my love while having a beer. Now you're onto something. Okay. I'm going to try that. I'll let you know how it goes. But in the meantime, it's that thing of like, how much are you going to push back on something? Like, if somebody's giving you a bunch of beer, you know, you're going to be like, nah, you turn on your TV at any point on Thursday or Friday. And even if you only have the one, even if you're living in the Byzantine days where you don't have a couple of monitors going at any given time, now you can just put it on your TV and it'll give you the quad box right there. Yeah. It's not, you sit there. It's just the preponderance of student athletes playing ball. It's imminently satisfying. The greatest sports weekends, and I hear this called the greatest 4-day stretch. I mean, I still go divisional round of the NFL. That's the best thing. And then the offshoot to me is what's the best sporting event that doesn't have any actual sports in it? Like, the selection show used to be deeply meaningful in my life for the March Madness tournament. I think the champ and the NBA draft lottery is fun to check out. Sunday at the Masters is good. But I'm going to go with the NFL draft. The NFL draft is still number one. Maybe I'm leaning heavily into pro football.
You think as an entertainment product, the NFL draft is the most entertaining thing? If I'm going to sit down and consume.
No, for non-sports, for something that doesn't have an actual competition involved in it.
All right, well, let's come back to the competition. You have your choice, okay? Your team's not involved. You have 4 hours. Let's time box it. You have 4 hours where you are going to stare at a television screen and consume sports. What is the most entertaining thing in all 365 days? What is the best 4-hour window from entertainment, not from rooting standpoint?
If you're now giving me a rigid time frame, and I'd love to bend it just a little bit to, let's say, 4.5 hours.
Sure, 4.5.
I mean, for the most consequential moment on the sports calendar, I would go with the title game Sunday in the NFL, and I would want to see like the fourth quarter of the first game and then the full second game. I guess that would be the window that I would select. If I could only watch, if this is getting super severe and I'm only allowed to turn on my TV, and I assume I can sort of track scores from the sports world at large, but the only one I'm actually allowed to look at for 1 year, I'll take that, like a 4.5-5 hour window, title game Sunday in the NFL.
So yeah, that's a good one. I don't know what it says about me, Dave. Maybe you could tell me what it says about me. That's not even the football I would select. I just love having multiple things all at one time. Maybe it's, you know, my attention span, maybe it's generation, maybe it's just whatever it might be. I think I would take just any I know what I would take. Red Zone during the fantasy football playoffs. Red Zone during the fantasy football playoffs is an outstanding, incredible experience, because like now it's your team, you literally your team that has something on the line and you're able to consume a bunch of things over all at once. And so I think I would say Red Zone during the fantasy playoffs. I would say opening Thursday and Friday of March Madness, probably in my show position. And then in place, it's once every 4 years, but I'm sorry, I guess I did that wrong. Win, place, show. Place over the NCAA tournament. Show, it's once every 4 years, but give me like an Olympics weekend. Like a Summer Olympics weekend when there's a bunch of medal events happening all at once, either that like second Saturday or that final Saturday when they're giving out all sorts of stuff. You get to see the national anthem played and you have like all these random sports that you only get to watch every 4 years, but you're seeing the culmination of it. There's all the great stories and that sort of things. I think that is also one of my favorite sporting experiences there is from an entertainment perspective.
I like that a lot too. It's all these novel oddball sporting events that we question if they even should really count as being sports. Yeah, that's a good, it's kind of like, and like, who are these people? Where do they come from? Are they actual athletes? It's very similar to the current baseball watching experience. I just did a fantasy baseball draft with my chums last night, and it was remarkable how few guys I recognized. It was really crazy how, as a matter of fact, Mergler, you're running real deep in a fantasy baseball league, deeper than I'm even willing to go. Sure. It's wild how tough it's been for me to keep up with the 21-year-old who's making a push to make the big league roster right now. I think what you're talking about is, and I'm not opposed to it because I'm a man of the people myself. I like a lot of pizza and I like a lot of French fries, but at some point we must question the quality of them, quality or quantity. And I know everybody in their brain likes to think they're a quality person over quantity. I'm with you. When you turn on that TV on a Sunday and there are 7 or 9 games going on at once, oh, it's you feel like a prince, you know? You feel like royalty, you know? The world has delivered all these games into your home at one time. Same thing with the tournament. I, though, go, said I got some snob to me. I like the good teams. I like watching the actual good teams. So I go Sweet 16 weekend. I think the second weekend in Vegas of the tournament, that's when you want to go to Vegas, not the first weekend. Get all the schnooks out of the way, all the ham and eggers, and let's let the truly good teams. Same thing with the playoff. I like week 10 of the NFL. I like the playoffs even more. Like I say, what higher consequence.
That's an excellent point, given the consequences. I think the other reason I like a lot of things at once is you diversify your risk of a stinker, right? Like if you say conference championship and it's 45-17, like now you've wasted 3 of your 4.5 hours on something that's not competitive, not all that compelling anymore because it's a blowout. But when you have 4 screens up or 7 screens up or whatever, there's always something for your eye to glam onto. And then you like move from thing to thing and it's just like hit after hit after hit. It's like, it's actually why like I do future betting, but in-game betting is really where it's at, baby. Like yeah, I can bet on the next play. I can bet on this series. Like give that to me over having to wait 9 months for an outcome.
Well, absolutely. And that's its virtue. What I'm pointing to is I like stakes, and that's what gambling provides. I like the human stakes or the professional aspect of this human being having his moment. That's what I talk about all the time, as imperfect and incomplete as it is on one's resume, but that, you know, the aspiration to win a Lombardi trophy or get into the Hall of Fame all comes down to these handful of plays that we watch in imperfect weather often. And then people bellyache, like he got a raw deal and he should have gotten a Lombardi and they deserve to move on. And now it's gone. Just like any high drama is, like just like the movies we enjoy watching, or the good ones at least, how elusive that stuff can be is so satisfying to watch, especially because I can divorce myself when the game's over from, especially when it's not my team. I can be like, Josh Allen, he got so close to taking down Mahomes there, but he didn't. Oh well, what else is on? Is a fun experience.
You can actually go too far with that, though, right? Like, as a neutral, like, playoff hockey is excruciating. Like, I can't even imagine as a fan, right? Like, the stakes of any moment with the goal being able to end the series, like, overtime and playoff hockey is absolutely crazy. So I think it's interesting we didn't say that one, maybe because it is just too hard to watch. We didn't say the Super Bowl. I know it's not your game, it's but the other game, big yeah. one that I should have thrown out, Dave, is the final Sunday in a Premier League where all 10 or all 20 teams play at once. And it's the interactivity. It's actually the same thing in the third round of the World Cup, because what's happening on your field and what's happening on a field, you know, 1,000 miles away are actually interacting at the same time, but the players don't know it and you can't see it. So a goal in one game changes the stakes of the goal that you're the other game that you're watching. And it's just super awesome to kind of engage in that like 2-3 hour window as well.
I mean, you know, we've had this discussion, you know, I love the bones of the Premier League and all the leagues underneath it in the UK. I love the Champions Tournament and all that kind of stuff. I love all of it. I just, you know, aside from the intrinsic nature of the sport that doesn't appeal to my eye, I love the way it's structured much more than a lot of sports could even US sports could even aspire to wire themselves to be. I think like we've talked about relegation for baseball would be the greatest, but and I'm a Pirates fan. And so I'm willing to talk about stakes. I would buy in. And I think all these bottom feeders in Major League Baseball, people would be embarrassed, obviously, to see their Major League franchise get sent down and replaced by the Toledo Mudhens. But talk about stakes. That would be them. The hockey stuff is the best, but it really is. I know this is an embarrassing to say for a man of my advanced age, but when your team is in the playoffs, there's just nothing more excruciating. Forget overtime. Forget game seven. Every minute of every game is torturous. It's really something to behold. It's too much. And so then when your team's not in it, you're kind of removed from that visceral, like, oh my God, this whole game can swing in 3 seconds and we're looking good, but now it's about to go the other way on a soft goal for the, all that kind of stuff. Torment you, keeps you up at night when you're in the midst of a NHL Stanley Cup series, all that kind of stuff. It's the worst. It's not satisfying. I wouldn't watch. You know what? Anybody within the sound of my voice, just stop watching sports. They're just going to torture you.
Well, bringing it all the way back, the only thing I can compare it to, Dave, is being a UVA basketball fan when they're like a 1 seed or a 2 seed, because they're never going to be up by more than like 5 or 6 points. And you have giant expectations of what can happen and they can lose any game. So we are parking our car in the same garage in that fan experience. But as a neutral, I do think that the tournament, I think Master Sunday was a good one. I think the Red Zone, the soccer, like there's amazing experiences. And another one's going to start here in the next 20 minutes. So let's go ahead. Let's give our picks and let's get everybody go and enjoy it.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit
visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Dave, we are back, and I know you are ready, and I know you're ready to go because you're at 21.8 units. You clearly have honors. You are on fire to a point that this show has never seen before. Give it out plus 240s and your cred pick hitting that as well. You are unstoppable. So go ahead. I'm sure everybody's on the edge of the seat. How are you going to make everybody's money on today's slate?
The only debate for me at this point, because I really do think that these obviously are good picks, or else I wouldn't be offering them up. I, at this point, am not sure what order to structure them in. I'm not even sure what's the best, but I'll go with my heart pick because in the spirit of, like I just said, I'm a man who believes in meritocracy. It should matter what you've done, body of work over the last many months here. Arizona to me is for real. They're laying at the time of this recording a heavy, relatively speaking, 9.5 points. I'm a man of justice. The Wildcats should double digit win to get to the Sweet 16. And I'm here to tell you that they will do it. They're going to cover that double digit victory for the Arizona Wildcats.
Dave, I got to say, I hate this pick only because you're getting away from hockey. Why are you getting away from the thing that's been dominating so far?
We'll get back to hockey. I want to talk about what the people are talking about a little bit at least. And guess what? I got another one coming your way in just a second here. Another another college basketball pick. Why am I doing that? You're right. Why didn't I just stick with the puck? But anyway, what's done is done.
Thanks for taking it easy on me. So, Dave, I've heard you talk a lot, both on and off the air over the years. And so I know your most hated teams in sports are the Islanders and the Flyers. Am I missing anybody? Who else do you truly despise?
Penn State.
Okay. Tell me, as a Pitt fan, what is it about Penn State specifically, though?
You heard about Joe Paterno?
No, I haven't. You want to spend the next 40 minutes on that?
No, I bet, for real, for me to really get into why I hate Penn State would be at minimum 20 minutes because it goes way back to 1979, 1980, 1981-ish and the feud between Joe Paterno and him getting mad at Jackie Sherrill who didn't want to join Joe Paterno's proposed Eastern Conference that he was going to rule over. Shame the devil that Jackie Robinson wouldn't sign on for that nonsense. Anyhow, it's way deeper than all of that. Suffice to say, long story short, they're regional rivals and I love rivalries and I'm a Pitt guy. And so, of course, I hate Penn State. Joe and all that crap, self-righteous, residing up on Mount Pius for decades on end, condemning everyone else but himself. Well, we know what was going on now inside his own house. Joe's the worst.
Got you going. All right, so Islanders, Flyers, and Penn State, 1, 2, and 3. For me, my 1, 2, and 3 is Duke, Duke, and Duke. I freaking hate Duke basketball. Here in my heart category, I'm more than happy to admit my biases, and I have Duke derangement syndrome. I cannot stand anything about them, and when UVA goes out every single year, the only joy I have left is hoping to see some crying faces and that blue and white sitting in the stands with their incredible sense of entitlement, with their noses in the air, thinking they're absolutely better than everybody else in the entire world. Let those tears rain down on the freaking court tonight against Vermont. So while I'm not going to go as crazy as taking the Vermont money line, I will for my heart pick, just to align, just to make myself feel something today. I am taking Vermont and the 12 to take down the hated Blue Devils.
That was powerful, except for the fact that as Dave, man of the people, sits here and listens to you talk, I'm reminded of the fact that you went to UVA, Charlottesville, Virginia. Boy, no wonder you're shooting up at Duke. Yeah, there's a bunch of snobs up there, a bunch of fancy pants is up there, Mr. Seersucker.
I will say that I did get to charge the court twice when I was in college. We beat Duke in 2001 and 2002. And so those are some of my most precious memories. I mean, I know you guys did it on minus three, like the court rushing stuff. Like, yes, there are legitimate arguments why it should be banned. I can tell you one of my best 20 memories in my life was storming the court in 2001 when we beat Duke. And I will not apologize for it. I also will not apologize for this. To quote David Feeney, in my career, I've done okay. I've set my table, but one of my best career accomplishments, one of my favorite moments in the history of my profession is in 2016, I think it was 2016, 2017, I was working at a site that had the media rights to the Peach Jam, which is this big high school basketball event where all the college coaches come to recruit. And because I had negotiated the media rights deal for it, I had like the premier parking pass, right? Like I got to park with all the coaches and like right next to the gym and everything like that. But of course, I'm not special. If they're giving it to me, they're giving it to everybody. So like this place was just jammed door to door. You couldn't even get your car doors open. They had just put so many people in this tiny lot. And it is pouring rain. It is just pissing down rain, like it's raining as hard as you possibly can. And I managed to back my car up, and everybody's trying to like get out and get going again at the end of the event. But it's just gridlock. You can't go anywhere. And so I hear this like beep, 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 beep. And there's this big black SUV directly T-boned against my car because I can't go anywhere. And they're parked so close to the other cars, they can't get their doors open. And I hear it first, and then I see who has the remote. Oh, it is Coach K, baby. And Coach K is sitting there while I'm sitting in my crappy rental car in Georgia, completely blocking him in. He can't get in his car. He is just freezing. He's raining. He's staring at me. He's giving me the death stare. And I'm sitting there with the biggest grin you've ever seen in your life, singing the good old song to myself as I watch an old man get rained on. And I will not apologize. Screw Duke.
Did you actually put the UVA fight song on and turn it way up? And then when Coach K is like, move your car, you're like, I can't hear you. I'm listening, singing the UVA fight song.
I don't need to turn it on, Dave. I can do it a cappella all day. I was singing at the top of my lungs. Top of my lungs. Most joyous moment I've ever had.
As Coach K is like, can you move your car? You're singing the UVA fight song right in his face.
That's correct. I love that idea.
Yeah, what a moment for you. Good for you. Strike a ball. I hope you didn't move your car for at least the next 4.5 hours.
Well, I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't go anywhere. I was like, oh, what do you want me to do, old man? You want me to wreck into the car in front of me? Like, I've got no option here but to shove it in your face. So I felt great about it. I still do. No apologies. Who do you have in the head category?
Good for you. I mean, I don't know if that story would be made a little bit better if it was Christian Laettner. I don't think you can top that one. Okay, here's another basketball one for you. And I, you know, my heart pick, what I would love to have done there, and we kind of touched on it. I think the cruelty of the sports gods having NC State replace Pitt in the tournament, which they did because they won the ACC tournament, probably took Pitt's bid directly. And then NC State plays in Pittsburgh. Keep in mind, Kenny Pickett just got shoved out of Pittsburgh in favor of NC State's Russell Wilson. So that they're now playing. And by the way, Pitt's campus is in the Oakland neighborhood of Pittsburgh, PA. And NC State and Oakland are playing on Saturday. I want to put something on that. But NC State is thoroughly mediocre. They stink. And so Oakland, we saw the kid get that, like the celebrity, the short-term celebrity that is gained for these kids is super neat and fun to root for, but it just doesn't, very rarely is there much shelf life. And when I say that, I mean like by next weekend, there's an expiration date. That's why I'm such a curmudgeon about it. It's neat. And I'm glad those guys get to have their moment, but it gets in the way of determining in a satisfying way, at least to my eyes, who the best teams are. All right. Sorry for getting back.
David, it actually does go to your stakes discussion a little bit. Like Martin and I talked about this last week, like who are our favorite March heroes? And like, I still remembered Harold, the show Archeneau, from what he did in the 1999 tournament. I remember Randolph Childress from what he did in the ACC tournament. Like nowadays, I don't know if it's just because I'm older and it means less to me or it means less to society, but it does not have anywhere near the same shelf. Like that kid goes out and hits 10 threes. And like, I don't think there'll be anybody on a podcast 15 years from now telling stories about him, but somehow we still tell stories from 15 years ago. Maybe it's about
Wally Szczerbiak. I'm with you, man. I mean, then, you know, it's now been replaced by what's happened in Golden State times a million. But, you know, that's how we first got to know Steph Curry. Yep. And you know, there are a million of those stories and they are fun, but I do wonder if it's our age and the fact that we now have more samples and more examples of that spread through the decades in our head. Like we can now, you and me could sit here and go back and forth for probably a half an hour and name guys who we became aware of because of something they did over a 40 minute stretch in a tournament way back when, you know, like, I mean, you know, that list goes on and it starts for me, with the, you know, the early 80s Georgetown teams and Sleepy Floyd, you become aware of him. Oh, yeah. He goes, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that, but Ralph Sampson on your side. And that brings me to my head pick here. I'm going to stay ACC with the heaviest of heavyweights in the ACC. Sorry, Duke. UNC. I'm going to take them laying the four here. I mean, if I have not made it clear, I don't trust the computers. I think but at some point, is a one seed in a power that comes out of a power conference that over the course of the conference stretch that went for 3 months, that it is completely meaningless? I say no. I'm putting my foot down here. And the name of teams that deserve to be there, moving on to the Sweet 16, the Tar Heels do it, lay the four.
So, Dave, it would be weird if I did this later. I actually have the same thing for my cred pick. Okay. And so I would usually red flags would go up if I felt such violent agreement. If we had this huge smorgasbord of sports for the weekend and we got to look at every single bet, you and I zeroed in on the same one. I was like, that's probably a problem. But I feel great about this one. I'm putting two units on it and I'm flipping from Wednesday, Dave. I mean, on Wednesday, I was here praising Tom Izzo and I got paid for it. I made my money off of Tom already and I greatly appreciate him coming through for me in round one. And I still have a healthy amount of fear, but now it looks like his legacy is creating great value to me. Like if you look at every other, you know, 1-2 seed, whatever it might be against a 9-10-11, that range, it's all 6.5, 7.5, 9.5. And they're only laying the four against Michigan State, I think out of respect for Izzo, but that now creates value. And particularly when you watch.
That's exactly my logic, by the way. I didn't mention the second half of my logic there. And I think you just nailed it there. There's a little bit of a bending of the knee to Izzo's past deeds in that number, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, you and I came to the same thing, same car, same garage. And so I also watched that game yesterday and RJ Davis looks awesome. I mean, he looked awesome in the ACC tournament. He looked great all year. He was first team All-American and he's raining in shot after shot, super casually, it doesn't even faze him. He's starting to look a little bit. We just talked about March legends. It looks a little bit like when Dwayne Wade put his team on his back and made that Final Four run. I think RJ Davis is capable of a similar four game run to take them to the Final Four. In order to do so, they just have to cover the four here. Four is also a number I like a lot because that just means they need to be up a bucket. And then from the foul line, they can cover. They can get to the five pretty easily just on garbage time at the end. So that gets in that sweet spot, that 3.5-4 range where I'm not afraid of it because of the way the game might end. I actually think the ending enhances your chances to cover the number.
Yeah, I mean, yes, all true. And it just to pull back again, though, we're talking about, I get the brand, I get who Tom Izzo is, I get what he's capable, what he has proven he can do with with some student athletes in the month of March. But I mean, 19-14 is 19-4. It has to matter, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're just going to abandon that, and when I say we're going to, I don't mean that from a gambling standpoint. If the 4 months just are meaningless, then what are we watching? Really, what are we looking at? We need this. We need the teams that have proven it over 4 months to beat the teams that are 19-14. And it has to happen, or it invalidates this entire exercise.
And I think Herbert Davis, I think he's 5-1 in the tournament now, because they didn't make the tournament famously last year, and they made the Final Four the year before that. So, I mean, Izzo obviously has a much longer track record and things like that, but Davis is off to a great start in his tournament coaching career. And so, like, I like that one a lot. And the fact that the hottest gambler in America agrees with me means I'm probably going to double down on that one tonight.
Excellent. Or tomorrow. I like it. Same garage. Right. Beep, beep.
So I also need to give out my head pick real quick. Then you're going to get to give out your heater and your cred, Dave. So for head, I went blind here. I went straight blind. I went, which tournament team has the best against the spread record all year? And I'm just going to bet them, whoever it is. So I decided that before I looked up the answer. And it's Iowa State. Iowa State is laying 7.5 tomorrow against Washington State at -110 over at Caesars. They have covered, Dave, 71% of their games this year. So if you're going to remove all prejudice, you're just going to follow the numbers. That's as blind as I could possibly be. Iowa State -7.5 because of their track record of covering. If you want to look at it on the flip side, the team with the worst record of covering left in the tournament is the University of Texas, who covered just 39% of games this year. So things are looking good for Tennessee tomorrow as well.
I think, you know, we're a day in and you don't want to overreact to 1 day's worth of evidence from the tournament. But, you know, those trends, you know, conferences, I think we want this to be true, maybe more than it is the reality. But, you know, we kind of look every spring for what a conference is doing, rising or falling. And I mean, the Big 12, you know, the entire structure of who got in was built around the dominance of the Big 12, and the early returns are disappointing if you were in on the Big 12. I'm raw about it. People are like, see, don't you feel better? You rooting for the ACC now? No, it's not gonna, now no matter what happens, the Big 12's heavyweights can all go out before the end of the weekend. That ain't gonna get Pitt in the tournament any, you know, that doesn't go back in time and let Blake Hinson see justice. What's done is done, and I'm raw about it forever.
Well, root for your chaos, but make your bets and make some money. What are you going to do in the heater category today? Drake is out, but Dave, I know you're about to set the record. I have a chance to also shatter the record because I am still in with a puncher's chance with Colorado. They survived the play-in game on Wednesday night. They're only a 1.5 point dog to Florida. And if they beat Florida, you've got to sweat out the whole weekend. You can be sitting on like 24, 25, 26. It doesn't matter. I've got an 11-1 that's still alive, baby. I love this game.
I mean, it's way too far in the future, but I do want to float out there with baseball season upon us. I sincerely do like this one. I know it's a lot of Pittsburgh, but I do like the Pittsburgh Pirates to go over 75.5 wins this season. Make a note of it. I'm going to go here. I'm going to stay in Pittsburgh, though, and my devastation about the Pittsburgh Penguins. I've made that clear repeatedly on -3. Dallas is a for real team. We've been reaping the benefits of that this week. Financially, I am going to say that the Pittsburgh Penguins on the road, who have been an actually pretty good team defensively, going against the Dallas Stars, under 6.5 total goals between these two teams. I think the Stars take care of business against the Pens. There's just been a power outage there for the Penguins. And that's a, you know, if you go through and if you are somebody who likes looking at those NHL totals, 6.5 is on the higher end now. Yeah. So I think that they'll sneak underneath that one. I mean, like, you know, as I like to always do with the hockey lines is, what is the number you could see? I mean, the Stars can win this game 5-1 and you're a winner, right? So, I mean, I think that's kind of the game you're going to get is 4-2, 5-1 Dallas, and you're going to be a winner. And I spiritually stay on the right side of things because I'm not outright betting against the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm not crazy.
Well, you're also 14 units up on hockey bets this week. So just do whatever Dave says at this point, because that's the kind of heater he's on. So that is your heater category, right? So what are you going to do in the Craig category? What is your best bet, your two unit bet?
I know this is a wild one to swing for in this spot, but I really do happen to like it. Dig this. The Colorado Avalanche, I think, are going to survive the gauntlet that is the Campbell Conference, nay, Western Conference playoffs. There are a lot of real good teams there. We just talked about the Dallas Stars being one of them. But the Colorado Avalanche are getting right at the right time. They're loaded up with talent. It's no big surprise. They won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, and in half of their last 10 games, they aren't just beating crummy teams, they're beating some good teams too. They have won by 3 goals or more. They're hammering some teams out there, and the Jackets from Columbus are paying a visit out there. They count as one of those crummy teams. I say Avs lay the 2.5. You get even money for that one, or plus 104 to be specific. I like the Avs. I know it's heavy. 3-goal victory for the home team. I say they're going to get it.
Dave, this is the power of the chip stack that you have right now.
Yes,
just because of game theory, and I'm going against the hottest man in America, I have to fail this pick. Because if you hit a plus 104 in your cred category, I basically can't catch you, maybe even if Colorado hits. So I have to fail the guy who's running red hot on the ice and who's picking maybe the best team in all of hockey. So I fell behind. I'm now paying the consequences. Which one of mine are you going to tail or fail?
I am going to go. I mean, listen, I have to ride with you on the basketball stuff more than I do. What do I do here?
Well, you've already got skin on UNC. And so we're talking about Vermont covering versus Duke, or Iowa State covering 7.5.
I just, you know what? When I'm pressed on it, then I really, it takes it to another level. I'm spiritually going to fail you on Iowa State for the reasons I already said. I mean, collectively we're looking at that. That is a decent size number there. So I'm going to take a look there. I should go Catamounts though. My sister's from there. I went there. Hench went there, but I'm going to go against you in Iowa State here.
Love it. Love it, Dave. All right. Well, it's been another great week with you going through the game. We do have one more pick coming from you on the Second Guess Express, but first let's pay a couple of bills. Then we'll come right back with it. All right, Dave, just wrapping up because the games here on Friday are just tipped off and I want to go and enjoy one of the best experiences there is in all the sports. Before that, I'm going to give out my Second Guess Express first, and it is Purdue, believe it or not, -26.5, which is a massive, massive number, particularly coming off a year where they fell flat on their face in the most public way possible, losing in the first round for the second time ever as a one seed. But if you look at the numbers, when Purdue went against programs of a similar profile, they destroyed them. When they played five non-Power 5 opponents this year, they won by an average of 35, and nobody got closer than 27. On the other side, when Grambling played Power 5 tourney teams, they also got waxed, losing 4 games by an average of 33.5, including a 45-point loss to Iowa State, the team closest to Purdue that they faced the entire year. So when you look in the numbers, it seems like even though it's a massive number, like it seems like it's a no-brainer for Purdue. And yet, because of the ghosts of last year, because of the size of the number, because ultimately I want to see drama. I want to see Grambling take this deep into the second half. I don't want to see like a 40-point game. I couldn't quite make it active, but all the numbers say I should have.
All right, so that's your second guess.
Yeah. So it doesn't count for our game, but wanted to throw it out for everybody since I did the research.
The one that I left on the sideline, because to your point about wanting to get some hockey in there, so be it. I think that a sneaky good play is, you know, the thing that the computers ignored in this selection process was teams getting better, you know, which is a bizarre thing. Over the course of 4 months that you wouldn't acknowledge that, you know, 18 to whatever 24-year-olds have the ability to improve. Oregon has done that because getting some guys on the, adding some guys and the improvement of guys on the roster. I think plus five is maybe a little bit, is a little bit of disrespect there, the Pac-12, all that. So Oregon plus five against Creighton is my, is the one that I barely left sitting on the sideline there. But if you want to jump on that one, do it. I think you'll come out in the black there.
It's already one I bet on. So if you had put that one in there, I might have had to tail it. So I'm glad you didn't. So, Dave, a very lively episode of Minus Three I listened to this morning, and I was cackling as I was walking my dog, listening to Kevin Hench give out Kentucky as the tournament winner. It is not often I get to hear somebody's pick already be gone by the time I hear it, even though it's still pretty fresh. And so you also had a great debate on who is the worst face of a franchise right now. Do I have?
Yeah, who is it? What's your answer?
Look, I'm... jury's out on Ohtani, even though I think we kind of know what happened there. But if he's betting on things besides baseball, like I could not care less. I really couldn't care less.
I don't care if he bet on anything. I don't care if he bet on anything besides baseball. But if he bet on baseball, you know what? You don't have to weigh in on if you think it's fair. You know what the punishment is: lifetime ban. So if he did, that would make that the worst one, right?
I think it has to be Deshaun Watson. And it's not, the reason it's Deshaun Watson is kind of threefold. One is like what it did to your fan base, alienating them, bringing that guy in was just absolutely insane. Two, the money, like the contract that it gave, like alienated the rest of the owners and set this new bar that is just completely perplexing. And then three, he sucks. And so I was like, okay, so you ruined your fans. You ruined the way football is financed. And he's horrible. So like, how could that be worse in terms of that being the representation of your franchise?
I think the bottom line is this is one of those categories. And by the way, it is who, as you say, who has the, what would be face of the franchise has the most potentially destructive kind of deal for the franchise and everything else. Bottom line is no wrong answers, really. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a good one. If he never played, like what happens if, you know, this is a 40-year-old man now on a bum Achilles. Who knows what's going to happen with him? We can be pie-eyed optimists, but the history for 40-year-old QBs is not bright.
Well, wild card, because he's not currently the face of the franchise, but he has been and maybe will be again, would be Kyrie Irving. Like, I know he's not, like, the off the field isn't anywhere near as bad as what Deshaun did and what some other people might have done, but that guy is, like, the representation of your franchise as the best player and your mouthpiece with his wacky takes and all that sort of stuff isn't that much divorced from Aaron Rodgers, except for he's still probably contributing at a higher level. And where did he go, Dave? He went to freaking Duke. So another reason that you should be disgusted to have that man representing you. As
by the way, right, I'm not equating felonies and immorality or conspiracy theories, etc. Except to say that if it means that that guy isn't on your team, then that's going to take down, then that's not good for your team. And Deshaun Watson is on the Browns, but he has not looked like Deshaun Watson of 2020 since he's been in Cleveland. So that defines it as a bad contract beyond the off the field stuff. The one that didn't come up, and I don't know how it's plausible that my brain wouldn't have recognized this one, but instead of it being the Bobby Bonilla Award, shouldn't it have been the Russell Wilson Award? He's literally getting paid $85 million not to be there. That's a bad face of your franchise, Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, Andre Blatch is the version of that in D.C., who got extended, and then they amnestied him before his extension kicked in. That is one of the all-time worst contracts as well, but not anywhere near as famous as somebody like Russell, so he wasn't the face of those Wizards teams.
Right, luckily. Face of franchise is the standard. Like, this is the guy we're pushing, everybody. Get on board with what our team's doing, and this is the guy. This is the reason you want to do it. If it's Deshaun Watson, it's hard to do if you're a Browns fan.
Oh, the worst. Anyway, go and listen to the whole episode. It was an awesome discussion and a lot of more fun stuff with you, Spaghetti, and Hench. Go back and listen to Extra Points. You and Tiana dug into a lot of the baseball stuff and a lot of other fun topics. Martin Weiss and Gunnels did a bunch of NBA preview stuff. I mean, the games they gave out for Tuesday are already in the rearview mirror, but they talked a lot about futures from the conferences and things like that. No Covered in Glory this week. It will be back next week, as will be all your other favorite shows on the Extra Points Podcast Network. So, Dave, thank you so much for joining. Always a pleasure to have you. We'll have you back pretty soon to talk playoff hockey and your winning Buccos. Anything you want to tell the audience before we split?
I appreciate you, Brett, behind the glass over there. Thanks for having me once again, fellas. Best to everybody back at your home there. And I hope you have a lot of wins this weekend to keep the house nice and cheery.
All right. Well, the one thing that I would be more cheery about than anything else is a victory by Vermont. Duke sucks. See everybody next week.